Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 11 has these familiar words, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." So then, the Lord gives us faith. He works faith in our hearts by His Word and by the sacraments. When there is no faith, He uses His Word, and He has that preached so that there would be some faith. And where there is some faith, the Lord continues to have the Word preached, and He adds the sacraments so that we are growing in knowing the Lord. This afternoon in Lord's Day 26, we'll see that the sacrament of baptism is meant to strengthen our faith. We're meant to grow stronger in the Lord when we see a baby baptized, or when we see an adult baptized, or when we think back to who we were when we were baptized. The Lord reminds us that He has baptized us at one point. So we turn to Lord's Day 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism, and it starts off with this word, how. I like a question like that. How? Because it's not easily answered with a yes or no question, a yes or no answer. How does holy baptism signify and seal to you that the one sacrifice on the cross of Christ is for you personally? How does the Lord strengthen our faith at baptism? I've summarized Lord's Day 26 with this theme: Jesus Christ baptizes us into His name. And we'll look at 3 points. First of all, the meaning of His name. Secondly, the forgiveness in His name. And thirdly, the renewal in His name. We have to look, first of all, what it means when we hear about Jesus' name. It's something so common in a Christian's life to hear the expression in His name. Most of our prayers end that way. Either we say, for Jesus' sake, or we say, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do we mean by that? Or at baptism, there's the name being mentioned. A child or an adult is baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because we hear it so often, and we say it in His name, this has to be explained again. We don't mean someone's first name. And we don't mean the name Jesus as in J-E-S-U-S, the five-letter word for that. And at baptism, when someone is baptized, we don't mean that the baby or the adult is baptized into the literal name of the Son. You know, when you hear, baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's not another way of saying Jesus, even though that's true. When you hear name in the Bible, you need to stop thinking of first names as we so often use it. We have to get into the meaning of a name. Name is short for who someone is. Name is short for reputation. Name is short for position or character or standing or influence. So when it comes to prayer, and we're praying in Jesus' name, we're not finishing off a prayer with some magical key that opens God's ears so that at the five-letter word Jesus, He suddenly hears you. That's not what you're praying. You're praying in Jesus' name because you're saying, Father, hear me, because in Jesus Christ, because of who He is, because of His reputation, because of His standing, His influence, please hear me. It's something we do so easily. We forget what we mean by God's name. And at baptism, it's especially important that we remember baptism is about God's name. We hear it at baptism. Remember that? I baptized you into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. What you're hearing is, I baptize you into who the Father is. I baptize you into who the Son is and who the Holy Spirit is. And here's the point. Our faith needs to grow. Right? We need faith to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. And in order for our faith to grow, in order for the sacrament to be useful, we're going to need to know the name of the Lord. We're going to need to know who the Father is and who the Son is and who the Holy Spirit is more. That's where our faith is strengthened. Lord's Day 26 asks the question, how does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? How is God's name going to benefit you? Well, from baptism on, he's going to tell you about himself. That's where your faith is strengthened. At baptism, in the words the minister says, the name of God is most important, and that's the pronouncement right at the beginning of your life or at the midpoint in your life. If you're an adult, being baptized. Who he is, God says. Who I am, that is the most important. That's the focus. And so if you ever read through as a congregation at the moment of baptism, usually beforehand, you're reading through the form for the baptism. And you'll notice that it goes into a lot of detail about what the Father promises, and what the Son promises, and what the Holy Spirit promised. Because they all are telling about themselves and what they promise. Because, you see, the baptism form has understood it. That the name of God is most important at your baptism. We are baptized into his reputation, into his character, his power. And we are baptized so that we would be confronted and encouraged and strengthened by his name and his work. Now, I say all this because there's a real danger of missing the point. There always has been, but especially in this age, there is a danger. Here in Winnipeg, there are many churches, many different kinds of churches. And there are those that teach that you must wait until you have faith before you're baptized. So you wait until you're an adult, or that at least you're mature enough to believe. And I call that believers-only baptism. The real danger in this way of thinking is that God's name drops out. God's name goes off the radar. What takes the place of God's name is your name, who you are. What takes the place of God's name, your commitment to Jesus Christ, your faith in Jesus Christ. All of those things are good. I have to be clear about that. Your faith in Jesus Christ, your commitment, is absolutely important. We've heard that this morning. But they're your name. And that's not where your faith is going to be strengthened, in who you were at one point in your life, and your name, your commitment, your faith. There's a problem with baptizing believers only, is it takes away the focus from the name of God. Brothers and sisters, the point this afternoon is that we just as easily lose track of God's name. Whether we are at a high point in our faith, on a spiritual cloud 9, or whether we're at a low point in our faith under the darkest cloud, we constantly need a reminder of God's name. That's the part that we easily forget. So then, we watch a baby being baptized or a new believer being baptized. And you're going to be thinking, whose name truly counts in that person's life. Are you going to be thinking, whose name truly counts in my life? And you should be encouraged to think back to your baptism and remember that this is about God's name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's how your faith will be strengthened, when you reflect on His name. That's point one, that we would know God's name and that we would be confronted and encouraged and strengthened by His name and who He is, who He's promised to be. But that's very general. So much can be said about each person in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we're going to zoom in this afternoon on the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's quite an expression. We use it so often. You say, name of Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus Christ? That's what we mean by name. Who He is and what He does and what He promises to do. And so the rest of the sermon, points 2 and 3, will follow question answer 70 of the Catechism. The way it reminds us that Christ's name is the one who washes. If you want to know how Jesus Christ wants to be remembered, you want to know what His name is, He will say, I'm the one who wash you. I wash you. Jesus Christ is in the business of making people clean. So here's the second point, the forgiveness in His name. Question answer 70 asks, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? Especially that first part. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood? And you can tell it's about forgiveness when you're reading the next part. To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in His sacrifice on the cross. What's the name of the Son of God? You can call Him the Washer, the one who washes. And you could tell that it's His name because He wants to be known as the one who washes you from your sins. We read from Acts 22, because baptism and washing, they come so obviously close together. Acts chapter 22, there's Paul the apostle retelling of how he had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. And after seeing the Lord, Saul, his name was Saul at the time, he makes his way over to the house of Ananias. And Ananias gets right to the point, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on His name, or calling on the name of the Lord, as you have it in your translation. Literally, it doesn't have that word Lord in there. It says, calling on His name. Notice how being baptized and washing sins away and calling on Jesus' name, you have three things there, being baptized, washing sins away, and calling on Jesus' name are almost one thing. They're just combined so quickly. And be baptized is something Paul the apostle knew, also as a man Saul before, when he was a Pharisee. Saul had formerly taken Jewish converts, proselytes, to Judaism. He had taken them under his wing. They often did that. The Jews would have some version of evangelism. It's not quite good news kind of evangelism. But the Jews would find an eager Gentile and they would baptize him. The Jews would baptize unclean Gentiles because they wanted these unclean Gentiles to be clean. They needed a washing. And now here's Ananias, a Christian believer, speaking to Saul, saying, what are you waiting for? You need to be baptized. You need to be made clean. Be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on Jesus' name. Those three things, they come together. The be baptized part, that's the easy part. You understand that. There's the water and getting wet. That's just the outside washing, the outward washing. And answer 69, Lord's Day 26 began with that. It's saying what's more important is the inward washing. Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly His blood and Spirit are doing the inward washing of my soul's impurity, in other words, all my sins. Ananias said, "Be baptized, Saul. Be washed on the outside, so that you understand what Christ is doing on the inside. Be washed on the outside so that you are washed and that you call on His name." Look at those words. There's three parts to this, right? The be baptized. Be washed on the outside. There's be baptized, there's have your sins washed away, and call on His name. There's three parts there. But do you know how a person's sins are washed away? It's right there. Calling on His name. Whose name is it? I just mentioned that the translation you have shows the word Lord. That's not there in the original. You might think it could be God's name. If you call on God's name, you will be forgiven. All your sins washed away. That's true and that's right. But Acts 22, verse 14, we are hearing what Ananias is saying in a quite a large section there. He's saying, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know His will. So he's talking about God the Father. He's chosen you to know His will and to see the just one or the righteous one and to hear words from His mouth. And at first you're thinking this is about God the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But no, Ananias, he's saying that God the Father has chosen you to know His will. The God of our fathers has chosen you to see the just one. He's chosen you that you would know His will, that you would see the just one, and hear the voice of His mouth. So who has Saul just seen? Whose voice has Saul just heard? It's Jesus Christ. God has chosen Saul to see the just one. That's the name he is supposed to call upon. The name he's supposed to call upon is the righteous one. Brothers and sisters, here's the point. That Saul had to be baptized and wash his sins away, calling on that name. And instead of thinking of the name Jesus, five letters, J-E-S-U-S, he was explaining. You call upon the name of the God that you have just seen. The righteous one, that's the Lord Jesus. How are your sins going to be washed away? Unless you know of the righteous one. And here's how it applies, brothers and sisters. Your baptism shows you and reminds you and impresses on you that God the Son washes you. That's who He is. And at baptism, Jesus Christ, He implants or embeds a sign and seal on you that He certainly washes you absolutely clean when you call on His name. So do you know His name? Do you know Him as the just one, as in the righteous one? Because we are calling on the name, the status, the reputation, the standing, you can say the importance of Jesus Christ. Can you think of any other name, anyone else who has such authority and power as to forgive sins? No, you can't. Can you think of any other name, anyone else who is so eager and willing to forgive sins? Do you know anyone else with the name, the one who washes? Answer 70 of the Catechism mentions, it goes through this very quickly, but it has the word by grace in there. It has the word grace in there. To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood. And it's easy to forget this about Christ's name. Christ's washing is free. And it's by grace. It's undeserved. And do you think, do we need a reminder of that? We're in a Reformed church, right? But it's very easy to forget this about Christ's name. That when He says He is the one who washes, and He wants each of us to know that He is the one who washes, He also wants you to know that He washes for free. By grace. That's who He is. He doesn't make you work like a slave that after scrubbing, after trying to remove all your filth and sinfulness, trying like anything to be pure and to cleanse yourself, then only then would He wash you. It's easy for each of us to think that way. That we have to earn, we have to work at being washable. And yet that's not what the Lord Jesus is telling us. He's telling us He washes for free. That's what we mean by grace. He washes those who can't wash themselves. We get this wrong so easily. We want to deserve Christ's washing, so we begin by washing ourselves, and we first try to remove sin as much as we can, and then we hope that Christ will appreciate us, and He'll just do the rest. Just the spots that we have missed. But we've missed the point, right? You notice how easily the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners of the day, how so easily and eagerly they came. They fell on their knees before the Lord Jesus. Why? Why were those sinners so eagerly begging Jesus Christ to forgive them? Because those sinners knew that all of their own scrubbing was only moving the dirt from one place to the next. It was only moving their sin from one place to the next. Do you see that too, brothers and sisters? No one here is more deserving of Christ's washing than anyone else here. When Jesus Christ says He washes for free, He doesn't mean after you've tried really hard, then He'll wash for free. There is no one who's more worthy of a free wash than anyone else. And Paul the Apostle later would say in 1 Timothy 1, even though I was once, and then he's describing in 1 Timothy 1, the Apostle Paul describes his background and how dirty and sinful and wicked he was. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. I was washed. And then he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience. Christ Jesus often takes the dirtiest person, the most vile, the most wicked person, And he says, let me show you what I can wash for free. And I hope you see the reason, one of the reasons why God would have us baptize little children. There's something that unites all little children. They're all little. And there's not one more deserving than another. God doesn't pick and choose which child deserves washing more. In fact, what unites all these little children is that they're human. They're human. He shows us how eager he is to wash anyone who is brought to him, who comes to him. So you think about yourself then. Think about yourself for a moment. When you were baptized, did you deserve to be washed? Will you ever deserve to be washed? No. We must call upon Jesus Christ, the just one, the righteous one. We must pray to the gracious one so that he would wash us with his blood freely, willingly. That, brothers and sisters, is the forgiveness that we find in his name, that we find in him, who he is, his reputation. Jesus Christ wants to be known for that. That he washes your sins away for free. Now briefly, let's move to our third point where we'll see there is also renewal in the name of Jesus Christ. In this sermon, I'm drawing attention to the name of the Son of God. And if you look at answer 70, the second half, it speaks about the Holy Spirit there. We could just as easily put this third point under the title, the name of the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does. But I'd like to, for a moment, do what the Catechism's doing and keep this all under the name of the Lord Jesus. Who is God the Son? And it's very easy to do this because God the Son, as the one who washes, he sends an inward one who washes, the Holy Spirit. So God the Son sends the one who scrubs us on the inside, the Holy Spirit. Christ's washing has two aspects, answer 70 reminds us. And now we're looking at the second half. For all those who Christ has washed by his blood, removing their guilt, the guilt of their sin, Christ goes on washing in another way, in a deeper way, by his Spirit, and he's removing the power of sin. You can think of this, the guilt of sin and the power of sin. You think of power as a controlling power. The second part of answer 70 says, to be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. When we say that Christ washes, that's who he is. He's all about this, washing. And we need to remember that he's all about a complete washing. He washes completely. You know, in the rain like this, it's easy for the children to get muddy. Sometimes I have to hose my children off, very gently, of course, hose them off with a garden hose so that they can come inside to play for a while. They're not so dirty. But it would be a waste of time if I hose them off and they're just right back in the mud. You want them to stay out of the mud for a bit. So it is with Christ. The reason he removes the guilt of sin, washing our sins away, or the guilt of our sins away by his blood, is so that we would glorify God by turning away from the power of sin. We heard this morning the call to repentance, to turn from the power of sin. Christ forgives sins so that we would sin less frequently, less often. And that we would do good more often. That we would produce more fruit. This is the name of Christ. That's who He is. He's the one who washes completely. You've heard the proverb about a dog that returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Well, Christ, He washes completely. He doesn't want the sow, the female pig, to go back to wallowing in the mud. That's why Christ washes by His Spirit. Here's a lifelong process where Jesus Christ washes us by His Holy Spirit so that sin loses its power. He washes us so that sin loses its attraction, loses its excitement. Answer 70 says that Christ washes us by His Spirit so that more and more we become dead to sin. Now this is the hard part, because sin is not gone. Sin constantly knocks at the door of temptation. And what is it to be dead to sin? It is to not answer that door that He knocks on. Sin rings the phone of temptation. What is it to be dead to sin? You don't answer that call. It's something the Holy Spirit does. A tempting thought, it falls flat because Christ is washing our hearts by His Spirit. It doesn't fall flat in the sense that you don't notice it. Every sin and temptation is very powerful and noticeable. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, "Sin, You are lying to me." You talk back to sin. You say, "You're lying to me. You're offering me all sorts of pleasure and happiness. And God doesn't offer me that in the way that you're offering me that. God shows me the way of life. And there is true happiness. And sometimes it takes longer to get there." To be dead to sin and to be alive to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's working in us. You see that? Jesus Christ is working in each of you to wash you completely. He doesn't only wash away the sins of the past. He doesn't only wash it away by His blood, but He washes us in a way, you could say He pressure washes us by His Holy Spirit. And He does that gradually. For our whole lives, He takes away the power of sin. So, brothers and sisters, this has been about baptism. And baptism is meant for us to know God's name. And baptism is meant for us to know the name of Jesus Christ. What's His name? Who is He? What does He do? Jesus Christ washes me. That's what He does. Amen.